Morning to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter and chapter 2. And I read verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. To whom the Lord, the gracious Lord, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. My dear friends, this morning my title is, What Do You Think of Christ? What do you think of Christ? This is, I believe, the most important, the greatest of all questions. What do you think of Christ? It will determine and decide your eternity. The answer you give to this question will decide your eternity. Where will you pass life after death? The answer you give is so vital. My dear friends, do you know this is the question that the Lord Jesus Christ asked to Peter in Matthew chapter 16. We will not turn to the passage. It is a well-known passage. And you know what has been the answer by Peter? Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art Christ. That was the answer Peter gave. And you know the affirmation, that great prophecy the Lord Jesus Christ said to Peter, on this rock, there have been, I believe, thousands and thousands of books and maybe millions of sermons that have been preached and books written just to give us an interpretation, an explanation to that affirmation of the Lord Jesus Christ. On this rock. The Lord Jesus Christ said he will build his church. Of course, we know the rock is first of all that affirmation. Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. But if only the Catholic Church and so on, many liberals, many neo-evangelicals, if they read what Peter is saying in this short section, and by the help of the Lord, I plan to cover verse 4 to 8 this morning, speaking and explaining what Christ meant when he said, upon this rock, because it is spoken about him. So go beyond that affirmation, go beyond that confession that Christ is indeed the Son of the living God. We have to speak about him, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the rock. My dear friends, behold in this passage, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to 8, what God says about the one Savior. If there be any Savior for this world, it must be one, because there is one God. And this is the man, this is the Savior, this is the God, this is the rock I plan to speak about this morning. My dear friends, as you study the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, there are many, many wonderful, amazing names given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of them. We could spend really a good hour just listing them. But when we come to this section, Peter, as an apostle of Jesus Christ through inspiration, is given to us, or taking us first of all, to the deep wells of the Old Testament, providing for us emblems by the prophets speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he applies those emblems to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he does here. And he, as you can see, I'm sure, from the reading, 1 Peter 2, 4 to 8, he takes us also to the temple, because we have temple language. It transpires with temple language. My dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is the stone. The Lord Jesus Christ is the rock of our salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ is our shield. The Lord Jesus Christ is our refuge. I don't have time to take you to the verses again, but starting from Genesis chapter 49, verse 24, this is the first time in a prophecy the Lord Jesus Christ is called stone, the stone, the shepherd, but also the stone. And throughout later, you come to Isaiah chapter 8. That's why we read Isaiah 28 also. I hope you saw the different appellations given to the Lord Jesus Christ there. Daniel chapter 2, where the stone came. Nebuchadnezzar knew who that stone was. And in a prophetical way, that stone was again the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you read Psalm 18, Psalm 8, Psalm 118, everywhere, Zechariah, everywhere the Lord Jesus Christ is given that great metaphor. He is the stone, the rock of our salvation. But remember, my dear friends, Peter, the rock man, Christ said, you are a pebble, a small stone really, just a small one. Peter here is speaking about Christ, the rock. Christ the rock, great rock. So I have six things to put before you, and all of them are related to Christ being the stone. And it's not just to give you information, but you can see, if you have trusted on the Lord Jesus Christ, my dear friends, you have security, you have stability, you have solidity, you have firmness. It is sure, it is secure. Your salvation will never fail, will never fail, because it has a good foundation. Of course, when we speak about stone, we are speaking about foundation. Without any further ado, look at verse 4, where the first one is mentioned to us. And the first one, Peter says, to whom coming as unto a living stone. Christ is first presented by Peter, explaining to us the rock, as the living stone. My dear friends, I hope you... Words are very important when they are in the Bible. It's not like you and me, we speak sometimes to say nothing. But if it's in the Bible, it means volumes. It speaks volumes. He doesn't say just a stone, but a living stone. And that's very important, because no precious stone digged from the dirt of the earth, no precious stone fetched from the deep oceans, the waters, will ever be called living stone. Nothing as such. But here, Peter says that the Lord Jesus Christ is a living stone. My dear friends, this is very important. It doesn't speak about something, because just unlike a piece of rock, a piece of stone, as you know, cold, dead, heavy, inanimate. But here he's speaking about a person. But not just a person. A person who is alive forever. Forever. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking about himself. He said, I liveth evermore. Luke chapter 24, the women come into the tomb. The Lord Jesus Christ, or the angel, spoke to them, and he said to them, why are you seeking the living among the dead? My dear friends, this is not just a callous, dead, and standing stone, but it speaks about a person eternally alive. Eternally alive. And that's very important. But from this rock, there is something great we receive. I want to apply almost each one of them. But the first thing you can see here, it is from him, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we receive life. From him, there are rivers of waters that will flow to be bestowed upon the believers. My dear friends, again, we don't have time to turn to the passages. We are just comparing scripture with scripture. You know, when the Lord Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, she came to fetch water, to find water. But Christ said unto her, whoever drinks from the water I will give him will never be thirst. And in John chapter 7, you know, at that great feast of the tabernacles, the Lord Jesus Christ was in Jerusalem and speaking to the crowd. He stood up and he invited everyone to come to him. Come. And he said, whoever believes in him, rivers of waters will come from his belly, meaning from his life. blessings from above. Oh, my dear friends, please touch your heart. You may not realize it, but the bit of your heart is given to you by Christ. People don't realize that. They think only spiritual life. Christ is the one who upholds, who maintains, who gives harmony to this world. You know, it's not the elephant man or the atlas man who upholds the earth. Bible says it is Christ. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who maintains and upholds. And very soon this world will be wrapped up. It will be wrapped up like an old garment. My dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is described unto us as a living stone. But do you see something said in the verse? Verse 4 again, apply to us, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. And in verse 5, ye also as lively stones. He is the living stone. We are the lively stone. The fire is put through us. He is the one who energizes us to bring life into us. Every repentant sinner who trusts on the Lord Jesus Christ is made to be a lively stone, not a dead stone, which reminds me, I don't want to offend anyone again. Ah, my dear friend, if I can tell you this in the most gentle way, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have never repented at the cross of Calvary, trusting that great work done by Christ, you are a dead stone. Oh yes, your heart beats. You can laugh like anyone else. You can work. You can have a family. You can be the richest man in the world. But according to the Bible, you are just a dead stone. But you come to Him, you are a lively stone. That's a great encouragement for you and me. But my dear friends, when we speak about lively stones, we are not speaking about a temple of stones. We are not speaking about Legos just piled up together here and there without any connection with one another. That's why we don't go for pilgrimage anywhere. When I found the Lord many years ago, there was a number of believers. They tried, we need to go to pilgrimage to the Holy Land. Where is the Holy Land? We don't have to go to pilgrimage anywhere. But may I tell you what is the greatest pilgrimage? Oh, my simple mind, please allow me some foolishness with my simple mind here. You know what is the greatest pilgrimage? When a sinner is taken from the dead on earth here, doomed, dead, condemned, and he is transported, you see the pilgrimage, into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God. That is the greatest pilgrimage that can happen to any one of us. But another pilgrimage is that you take part to your own funeral. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are dead to sin, dead to this world. Yes, the body will die, but I can tell you that the Christian is unharmed, untouched, indestructible. You know why? Because you are a lively stone. So we don't go to pilgrimage anywhere. We don't go to a temple because Christ said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, where two or three are gathered, I am in their midst. There are 500, 600, 700, 1,000 people maybe here. Is Christ in our midst? Yes. Where two or three are gathered, He is in our midst. My dear friends, we do not go to a temple. We are the spiritual temple, greater than the temple of Solomon. Greater, bigger, and richer than the temple of Solomon, who does not exist anymore. It was destroyed. Actually, it has never been everywhere. But we, as believers, our temple, being the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are everywhere. Some people in their foolish thinking, they think, oh, that place, there are no believers there. But you will find one. Elijah thought he was alone, but God said to him, there are 7,000. Oh, my dear friends, Christ is that massive stone, but yet he is moved and touched by the feeling of our infirmities. So he's not insensitive. He answers our prayers when we come to him. But I want to apply. How do we become lively stones? How? The text gives the answer. Verse 4, look at it. To whom coming? The first thing to become, if you want to become, or if the Lord has to make of you a lively stone, the first thing you have to do is to come. Coming. And coming to him, verse 3 says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. It's about the Lord. His taste is unique. He is always faithful. He is inviting you to his banquet. And now the first thing you and me need to do in order to become lively stone is to come. But please don't stop there. Because you may come, you know the passage, Matthew 11, verse 22, the Lord Jesus Christ said, come unto me. He said so. So you rest your soul upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at verse 6 of our text. Wherefore, also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him. So you come not just to admire the church, to admire building, but you come to believe. And you want to know what believes means? It means to trust him. My dear friends, once you are born again, you have come, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are united with the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not just isolated stones. But you are cemented and upheld by the power of the Spirit of God. That's why we need one another in the Church of Jesus Christ, because we are the body. The body needs every one of its parts and every one of its organs. So, my brothers and sisters, Christ is the living stone. We are, because of him, the lively stones, because we have come and we have believed in him. But I must tell you more here, because there is something important. You know, in Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, when John the Baptist started his ministry, people were coming to him to repent from their sins. And he said to them, don't trust the fact that you are children of Abraham. This is what they were proud of. You know the text. But what did John the Baptist say unto them? Do not cleave. Do not think that you will be saved because you are children of Abraham. Because from these stones, God can raise children of Abraham. My dear friends, is this not a fulfillment of that, what John the Baptist said? You and me, who were dead stones, now we become lively stones, the real heirs, the real children of Abraham by faith. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. We are the real children of Abraham, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But another instance again, still in the Gospel of Luke, when the Lord Jesus Christ entered in the city of Jerusalem, and people were exalting him, praising him. You know what the Jewish leaders said? They said to the Lord, make your disciples to be quiet. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ said unto them? If they be quiet, the stones will cry out. That's us when we worship the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if you felt the same, but as we worship, we are singing hymns. It's not just words or nice poetry we are singing. We are singing deep things of God. And it gives us already a foretaste of our presence before the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. my dear brothers and sisters, Christ is the living stone. We are the lively stones because of him. The lively stones are set on upon the living stone. Without him, we can do nothing. And that is so important when we consider these affirmations, these metaphors about the Lord Jesus Christ being the living stone. But you see, because of that, because of him, because we have come to him, because we trust in him, look at verse 5. We have another identity there. We are also lively stones built up on a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer a spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. My dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ, when we believe in him, he makes of us not only lively stones, but we become also priests. We will come to it when we study verse 9, because there we are a kingdom of priests. But what I want to tell you here, as priests now, we do not offer sacrifices for people's sins, but we offer different kinds of sacrifices. My dear friends, don't go to any stone in this world. That's idolatry. There is only one stone. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. He is our Lord. So we go to him for spiritual sacrifices. What are those spiritual sacrifices we can offer to God? May I give you a short list? The first one, of course, is worship. Worship is the language of heaven. It is the language of the church. The second, we offer sacrifices of a contrite heart. We offer sacrifices of repentance. We offer sacrifices of good works. We offer sacrifices of ethic and moral lives. We offer sacrifices of compassion. We offer sacrifices of stewardship. We offer sacrifices, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. We offer our own bodies to the Lord Jesus Christ in service to him. But we offer sacrifices of gratitude. We offer sacrifices of love to the Lord. My dear friends, love will always keep its duties. Always. But I must move on. I could have stayed only on this first one. But as I said, there are six metaphors in relation to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first one is the living stone. And you and me, we are made to be lively stones, but we are also made to be priests, and we offer spiritual sacrifices. Look at the second one in verse 4 again. To whom, coming as unto living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God. The second one, Christ is the chosen stone. Disallowed of men, but chosen of God, willing and able to save to the uttermost. Sometimes believers, new believers, young believers ask me, how does God speak to us? Hebrews chapter 1 says, God speaks to us through Christ. Where do we find Christ? In his word. So how does God speak to us? He speaks to us through the word, by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's it. Nothing else. And if you think about it, my dear friends, God speaks to us and saves us through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, why I'm dwelling on this second one, just for a bit. I could have just mentioned it and carry on. But my brothers and sisters, you read in the Gospels, when the Lord Jesus Christ came, when after he started his ministry, you know what men said? Men said, we would not have this man to rule over us. They said so. And you know what the builders, the text speaks about the builders, you know what the builders said? And if you want me to explain to you, the builders, simply it means the Jews, the leaders, those who are in authority among the Jews. You know what they said? Away with this man. Crucify him. crucify him. But as you read Acts chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, that man who was rejected, that man who was disallowed, was the man who God has chosen for the salvation of every man who trusts in him. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, you know the passage. No other name was given under heaven. Where is under heaven? Earth. No name was given for our salvation except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, Christ was rejected by men, but he was selected by God to be ordained to be the only Savior, and there is no other Savior. He is the only one. The builders have had every opportunity. They had all the benefits to believe. But they said, we won't believe. We won't believe. They had the prophets. They had the covenant. They had the scriptures. They had miracles. They had shadows. They had the types. They had sacrifices. But in spite of all that, they said, we won't believe. So whose fault is it? Is it God? Sometimes people say, oh, it is God. God doesn't want people to be saved. He wants people to be saved. He has shown it through many, many types and shadows. But now we have the reality. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. And just one last thing here. You know what they said when the Lord Jesus Christ started to preach to them? They said, can anything good come from Nazareth? They rejected their only hope. Please, my friend, if you do not know that living stone, come, believe. That's the only hope. But I must come to the third one. The third one is very simple. And you can see it again in verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. A chief cornerstone. But before that should be the fourth one. There is one in verse 4 which I shouldn't really skip. The fourth one in verse 4, precious stone. Precious stone. So first, Christ is the lively stone. The second, he's the chosen stone of God. The third one, Christ is the precious stone. And you see the language, it is God who has chosen Christ to become the precious stone. My dear friends, the word precious in Greek means unequal. It means costly. It means irreplaceable. It means we cannot do without the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the meaning. You cannot live without him. He is the hope. He is the Savior. He is the one who gives energy to your spiritual life. He is the one who quickens you from the dead. So you reject him, there is no hope for you in this life, but also in the life to come. He is precious. But precious means our salvation has cost a lot. A lot. Foolish preachers sometimes they say, oh, it's all free. Yes, it is free on us. But can you think about it? What is the cost of our salvation? God himself. God himself. God to give us his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is a great price. If you don't believe me, you read later Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. It is a great price. You read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. It is a great price. Oh, my dear friends, the Father valued, treasured his Son. Should we not treasure the Lord Jesus Christ? Please, later, I don't have time to take you to that passage, but 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2 says something amazing. He, the Lord, there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither there is any rock like our God. Precious. And the fourth one, which I gave you already, Christ is the chief cornerstone. The chief cornerstone. My dear friends, when the Bible speaks about the chief cornerstone, it is important. I don't want to detain you for long, but this is important. Why? Because Christ is the well-crafted God's plan of salvation. The well-crafted stone of God's plan, eternal plan of salvation. I choose carefully the word. God's eternal plan of salvation. But moreover, he is also the chief cornerstone of his church. Bind together, binding the building together. My dear friends, in New Testament times, the chief cornerstone was the most expensive one. But in New Testament times also, the chief cornerstone was the first one to be put in place to give the right angle, to give straightness, to give direction to the whole building, but also to upheld the walls together. Oh, you can make really a good application there. Christ, by the power of his Spirit, is the one who is maintaining us together, cemented together by his power. But my dear friends, Ephesians chapter 2, 19-20 says, Christ is the foundation. He is the foundation, the cornerstone of the church. He gives shape to our lives. He gives direction to our lives. He changes our heart. You can see the purpose of the chief cornerstone. But I must come to the fifth one. You see the fifth one, it says there in verse 6 and 7, Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. So Christ is not just the chief cornerstone, but he is also the head of the corner. And I have to explain this. The head of the corner, we understand it by that memorial stone which is put in order on solemn ceremonies when there are a road to build or a big building to build. I have seen it many times in Africa, but I tell you something, in Africa, they put that first stone and nothing happens after. But here, the Lord Jesus Christ, the president will come, all the officials will come, they will put that stone, and you have to wait long. But with Christ, he is the head of the corner before the foundation of this world. He is the head of the corner at the beginning of this world. He is the head of the corner also at the cross of Calvary. At the cross of Calvary. So the head cornerstone, that's why we keep reminding you, the cross of Calvary is the most important event in the world. That's the memorial. And tonight, as we come to the Lord's table, what are we celebrating? What are we to remember? The death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. But thank God, we praise the Lord, he did not remain on the cross. He was risen from the dead. But my dear friends, the head of the corner means that the center and the heart of our worship is not anymore a temple. Now it is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. It is him we worship. It is him we serve wholeheartedly, day after day. But I must come to the last one. My dear friends, if I have lost you anywhere, please forgive me. I wanted just to present to you the Savior. He's a lively stone. He's a chosen stone. He's a precious stone. He's the chief cornerstone. But he is also the head of the cornerstone, the capstone. But now the last one, in verse 7 and 8, it says in verse 8, a stone of stumbling and the rock of offense. So I must close. My time is over. My dear brothers and sisters, to true believers, to you and me who have come and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ is the saving stone. And he gives us an eternal salvation. But to those who have rejected the gospel, It is likened to a stone over which they strip. They trip over that stone to be destroyed. What a contrast. Do you see, for the believer, he is a saving stone. But he is the cornerstone. But to the non-believer, he is a rock of offense. He is a stumbling stone. My dear brothers and sisters, why do people stumble over the Lord Jesus Christ? Why? It is here in verse 8. Don't invent anything. It is in the text, and you can see it. And a stone of stumbling and the rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word. Why? Being disobedient, not willing to believe. That's the key. People trip over the Lord Jesus Christ, not because God doesn't want them to be saved, but because they are not willing. They are disobedient. My dear friends, blame your disobedience. I blame my disobedience, not God. God should never be blamed. God is always fair. God is always righteous. May I close with just a promise given to you in the passage. To those who fall on him, to those who come to him and lay their life upon him, look at the verse again, verse 8. And it says, I beg your pardon, verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. That's the word I was looking for. If you trust in him, you shall never be put to shame. That's the meaning. At the day of judgment, God will not judge you for your sins because you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, come to him. He is the living stone. For all these reasons, may I say to you, we live a holy life. We live a holy priesthood life. We increase in our assurance. We are separated from the world. We give our bodies as living sacrifice to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure Peter shamefully remembered when he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember he denied Christ thrice. But now he says the people who fall on the Lord Jesus Christ will receive what? They will receive everlasting life. But if the Lord Jesus Christ, the stone, falls on you, you will be dashed into pieces. You will become dust. You will become nothing. But if you trust in him, you will never put into shame. My dear friends, are you perplexed about life? Run to the rock. Are you unsaved? Come without delay to the rock of salvation. Because in the Psalms we read that the righteous runs to the rock and finds what? Refuge. You can find refuge with the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless these words to our hearts and souls this morning. Let's close our time together by singing hymn number 18. Hymn number 18.